Father God, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing. Thank you, dear God, that you superintend, Lord, even over the madness of our own lives sometimes. And we praise you, Lord, that even though we're a mess, we know you're not, and that you're here to help us. And Father, you give us your word to guide us. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit would take your word today and really apply it right where it needs to in our hearts. And I just ask, Lord, that you would take me out of the way. Father, just speak to us, Lord, in every pew. Lord God, I pray that you would just give me the ability to communicate, Father, your word and your truth the way exactly that you want it and that we need to hear it. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to talk about a couple of things today as we start out. We've been looking at our series, you know, Building Character, which is all about the Sermon on the Mount and these kingdom principles, by the way, that are far-reaching, and they're kind of deep. They really get us to think. And today we're talking about, as we started last week, as Jesus gets past the Beatitudes, now he's kind of taken in six different settings issues of sin that the Pharisees and the priests and the rabbis taught, and he's saying, this is really what I'm trying to get across. This is really what God meant when he gave us these commands. And I'll throw this out. This is not to make us saved by our good works. This is to help us to humble us and understand exactly where we are and to allow God in his spirit and his word to work through us to change us in these areas, that we would have a character that's different than everyone else and that we would truly bring glory to God and be really a good advertisement for the power of God and what Jesus can do in our lives. Because we all come in as a big mess, and God's trying to change us little by little into the image of Jesus Christ. So we'll look at those passages. We're focusing today on a tough topic, right? Marital disharmony and sin. And I'll say this, and by the way, Moses, the Spirit of God is working. Moses stopped reading before the slides had scripture on to stop, right? But Moses, you must have been, you know, the Spirit of God must have whispered in your ear, because we're going to stop at verse 30 today. I feel like we can't deal with all these things in one setting. So God told you, Moses, where we're going. So he read exactly that scripture. So next week it won't be a double. Where it was there again. So kind of our thought is, as we all struggle to understand some of the awful things that people do to each other. And by the way, you know, immorality is kind of an awful thing, right? You know, and, adultery is an awful thing. But why do we do these things? What's going on? And what we're going to talk about today is just listening to Jesus as he gives us some valuable insight again into this problem and a plan to overcome it. So we're gonna jump right on in. The eternal truth that you want to walk away with this morning, you know, sort of the basis of this series and this part of it is we're here to build God's kingdom, but it's a result of building God's character in us. And real Christian character is superlative in Jesus. And I want to throw this out. Everybody kind of look up as I think about this. Read on the screen. Marriages and families are under the constant attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's really true. And Satan is so creative and so crafty, and he is just attacking the weakest thing, you know, or the thing that is, maybe the most vulnerable, which is our families. You know, sometimes God, you know, maybe he doesn't attack me, but he attacks Jane. And what's that do? It attacks me. Or he attacks our kids. And what's that do? Weakens the whole home, right? And Satan does that all the time. And does it in your home, in my home, too. And he puts things out there for us, and he knows where we're vulnerable. And he's able to trip us up so many ways. So the thought on that is, we got to clearly understand God's standards for the family. We got to take every thought captive. We're going to elaborate on that. Which you guys, by the way, we're going to have a little bit of a dialogue on that later on in a minute. And we want to recognize and remove every temptation that we can. That's really where we need to go with this. So we're going to jump right on in, and I want to just kind of refresh our connection. Remember Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It's all about So Jesus said that the Old Testament law, right? Jesus didn't come to destroy it, but he came to do what? To fulfill it. And he said these words, which are challenging. He says that the righteousness that the disciples of Jesus ought to have should exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And they were sort of the heroes of righteousness in an outward way in that day. And Jesus, as he goes into this, he wants to correct a lot of our erroneous thinking. And I want everybody to look up for a second. Understand that you and I do not think biblically about a lot of things. We are under the influence of all the other time. Like we may read our Bible every day. Hopefully we do. We may try to digest it and apply it every day. But that might just be, maybe that's like an hour in a day. Think about all the other influences that you go through throughout the week where your mind is being taught to think a lot about spiritual things in an erroneous way. And we'll talk about that in this context. So we're gonna dig right on in. And I just want to refresh our minds. Remember, here's what Jesus said. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but fulfill." And what Jesus said, Jesus, by the way, he was the only one who could live out the law. And through him is the only way that we can really keep the law. And we know through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's given to us when we put our faith and our trust in him, that's the only thing that makes us righteous. And I just want to add one thing. I want to ask you a question. Why is that true? Why can I only do it through Jesus Christ? What does God look at that really has a problem? God looks at our heart. And we said it, right? By the way, you guys look great today. Everybody, you guys look, you know, looking good, looking springy. I broke this tie out today. I was like, man, that looks kind of sharp. You know, right? We're looking good today, right? But man, when you get beyond the tie, the shirt, man, the heart is not looking so good sometimes, right? And maybe all the time. So God looks at the heart, and we can only do that through Jesus Christ. Second thing is, right, we got to think about this. He says, "For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." They did a lot of things right on the outside. Remember Jesus called them? He said, "Inside, you are like whitewashed tombs." You know, it's like the outside looks good, but inside it's full of dead men's bones and all manner of things that we don't even want to think about. And Jesus said, we got to exceed their righteousness. And I want to kind of go with that thought just a little bit. Here's the challenge. When it comes to issues like adultery, lust, divorce, and immorality, the world, the flesh, and the devil have shaped our understanding and continue to shape it each and every day in a way that's not God's plan. Is that true? I mean, we hear, we can watch it, we can read about it. You know, people, on all sorts of media, they talk about these things. But what we're not hearing so much of is what is God's plan for the family. You know, and we're kind of, you know, just kind of being led in a different direction. And Romans 12 talks about this, and you know, Paul said this. He said, you know, in the context of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, and by the way, that's where God wants us to be. He says, don't be conformed to this world. And the world's trying to get us to walk just like it says. Don't be conformed to that, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to encourage us, that's what Jesus is trying to do in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He's trying to renew our minds, get us to think right about hard things. And I want to share with you guys, the next point is this, which is this. As I stop thinking about this erroneous thinking, everybody look up. A lot of us are really good at not sinning in certain areas. We've kind of maybe overcome it in the power of God. So those are the areas that we judge everyone else on. I can't believe they're doing that stuff, right? And the Lord, as he spoke through his brother James, he said, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. So we can't take this view of like, oh, I've accomplished, you know, conquered that sin, and everyone else should just like me. We can't take that perspective. And we can't, and by the way, here's what the Pharisees do. They are attacking everyone else on what they are outwardly good at. And Jesus says, you know what? We got to fix our hearts. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're going to skip right on down. Thanks, Sarah. And I just want to kind of remind us, right? Remember Jesus said, right, in all these ones, but this is our second passage where Jesus says, you have heard it said. And remember what he's saying? He says, this refers to the teaching of the various rabbis. And remember, the teaching of the rabbis is very human, very outward, very achievable, and something they can boast about. And effectively, Jesus is correcting their misinterpretation of these commandments of the law. And then Jesus says this, he says, but I say, and Jesus moves from that outward manifestation that seems to be kind of easy to keep at times to the motive and to the movement of my heart. Just digest that for a second. The motive and the movement of my heart. Like an idea of that idea of movement is, where is your heart going? Where's it thinking, right? And God wants righteousness on the inside, not just on the outside. And remember, he says, our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. This is only possible in Jesus. And then our working perspective of the law is, it's what, we ask this question sometimes, we ask it again the wrong way. Well, what can I do and still say I'm kind of a good Christian? And what God wants us to think is, you know, what's the real motivation of my heart? Where's my real love? What do I really care about? And hopefully it's the Lord first and his righteousness. So we're going to just dive on in. That's a quick review, and we're going to go to the next point, and we want to jump right on into our message. And we'll go one more time, which is this. So what we're going to focus on this morning is the concepts concerning marital disharmony. And by the way, this is all about marriage. But you might say, well, I'm not married. Maybe you're, you know, kind of, maybe you lost a spouse, and that's something that's in the past. It's just so important for us to understand what is God's principle, because this affects every bit of our society. And I'm going to throw this out, everybody look up. You know what? If our families aren't strong, our church won't be either. Right? And we won't be personally. If there's issues in our families, it makes it hard for us individually as well. So we got to focus on that. So the first thing that the Lord gives us, let's talk about, is this idea of adultery. And I called it the outward sin. Then we're going to focus on lust, the inward problem. And then we're going to look at what's called a hyperbole, and we'll define what that means, recognizing and removing temptation. And we're going to defer divorce and immortality to next week, because I think we can't digest all that in one sitting very well. So we're going to move on to the next point. So look what Jesus says. He says, for you have heard that it was said by those of old, you shall not commit adultery. And I'm just going to give you guys a quick piece of background. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes belonged to a group of religious leaders totaling about 70 people. And they were called, write this down, the Sanhedrin. And here's one of the challenges. One of the things that they had to be part of that, one of the requirements was that the men who were in that group, and they're all men, had to be married. Okay? Had to be married. That was the requirement. But I'll throw this out. It's not a requirement exactly, but, you know, as a pastor, it talks about, in the book of 1 Timothy and Titus, that if I'm going to pastor the church, I have to be faithful in God's perspective with my family. And it can't, if I'm not faithful there, why would you want me here? Because I'm not doing a good job where I need to be, where, you know, where the rubber hits the road. And so that idea is not a bad idea, but here's what the Pharisees did with that. They had no problem in saying they were married. The issue was, what else was going on, right? And again, you know, you can have a wife. Everybody look up for a second. Can you have a wife or a husband and really not be married? The answer kind of is yes. Think about it. Like, do you treat that spouse like they're your wife or your husband? Or is it just something that's legal, that's outward? You understand where I'm going? That's where Jesus was going with these guys. And we want to kind of dive in. And look what Jesus does. He immediately shifts gears and he says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So let's dive in. Let's think about it a little bit more. We'll go to the next slide, Sarah, if we can. So here's the idea. The outward sin is adultery. Everybody, by the way, the Greek language has a number of very precise, different words when it comes to sexual sin and many other topics as well. So there's one word, it's called moikio, and here's the idea. He's talking specifically about the marriage relationship, and he's saying this, that this thing, adultery, moikio, and moikio is defined as this, having a sexual relationship with someone other than your spouse in marriage. That's what this is. We're not talking about other sins. We're not talking about pornography. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about you have a sexual relationship with someone else who is not your spouse. And here's the key point, right? Go back all the way to the Old Testament. And by the way, this is what the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders were talking about. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. What's it say? You shall not commit adultery. By the way, that is pretty clear. It's pretty short. It's not a whole lot of explanation we need to give on that. In a sense, that's the command from God. And Jesus, by the way, is getting the disciples who he's speaking to on the mount to really begin to think deeply. So here's a question. In a pure world, no issues, no problems, does it make sense that we should not commit adultery? What do you think? Absolutely, right? God said it. It's pretty clear. It makes sense. We want someone else to commit adultery against us if we're the innocent spouse. Does that make sense in marriage? Yeah, it makes sense, right? And by the way, I'll throw out to you, and I know some people teach this and the world kind of goes to this. Some people in their marriages have more than one person in the marriage in addition to the spouse. Is that good? No, that's not good. That's not what God wants. God has a definitive plan. So he's getting the disciples to think about these things. So that's sort of a generally understood thing. Kind of makes sense the way things ought to be. But Jesus takes it a little bit deeper. And look what he says. He says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here's the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Guess what? They're saying, hey, we haven't committed adultery. In other words, they don't have maybe another woman on the side. Because why? They can't break that rule. So outwardly, they look squeaky clean, as they say. But on the inside, maybe a whole lot more is going on. And Jesus says, look what he says. He says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here's the challenge, right? And think about this. The scribes and Pharisees, do you think it's possible that they might have committed this sin? So the scribes and Pharisees, we could honestly say, right, if they commit this sin, what are they? They're adulterers. Isn't that true? They really are. That's, you know, by the way, if you murder, what are you? So if you commit adultery, and Jesus says, even in your heart counts, what are you? You're an adulterer, right? Let's continue on just for a second. So this idea of lust, and again, just defining that term, is where it comes from the word epithymeo. And here's the idea of that word, by the way. Thymeo is the idea, it has a prefix on it, which kind of strengthens it. But the idea of thymeo is desire. Anybody have any desires today? Not bad ones, good ones, right? Maybe you have a desire. Anybody hungry? Right? You might be hungry, right? Amen. Tonight, so you're hungry. Praise God. You're hungry, right? You have a desire maybe for rest. Some of you guys said yesterday was, praise God, was a wonderful day, but I'm sure we're all kind of feeling a little tired, right? So we have a desire to sleep. That's good. You know, we have desires for all kinds of things, right? We have desires to get things done. you know, we have that just motivation to do that. All those things are at play. But the idea of this word is, it is a strong longing or desire in a sexual way. That's what it really is. That's what he's saying. He finds it real clear. Forget about the extra form there. And by the way, notice Exodus 20. Again, Ten Commandments, by the way, the foundation's all there, right? Look what the Lord says. He says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And let me just back up for a second. Stop. This idea of covet is this desire that is out of control. And I'll throw this out. Don't we do that? Don't we, our neighbor get, you know, maybe they do an addition or they fix up their house. We go, wow, that is so nice. And we desire ours to be that way. Covetousness takes it to the point that we're willing to do almost anything to get it. And the Old Testament law says, don't be like that. I want to throw this out. Isn't that kind of out of control? You understand? You understand the difference? And by the way, you know how the one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. The Spirit of God gives us the ability, even though we have these desires raging in us. Remember we looked at James chapter 4 last week, and we talked about how anger, and it says, the Lord says, what wars in your members, what wars in our members is our desires. They're just so strong. It's like a fight that's going on within us, and that fight is this idea of covetousness. I want something so bad, I'll do anything to get it. And he says, don't covet your neighbor's house. Look what he says next. Read that. What's it say? Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Right? And we'll come back to why we might do that. But don't covet her. Don't cover his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that's her neighbor's. And it's that this desire that's out of control. And here's the point. We are shifting for don't commit adultery, but the root cause of the adultery, and Jesus says, say it at the bottom, Jesus is now working toward the root in the heart again. That make sense? It's like adultery is something you wake up and say, you know, I'm going to commit adultery today. I mean, and seriously, like you wake up, I'm going to do it today. Today's the day. Like, you don't think that way, right? But the issue is, these things are warring and they're raging in our heart because the root of the problem is our heart is just wicked. It just wants what it wants and it's going to do what it does to get it. You got to get the root. You got to get the root. I'll share a funny story about the root. By the way, the root is the key. Years and years ago, way back at the church, I remember a whole bunch of us guys, we used to have these like evergreen bushes right along the sanctuary. Anybody remember those? Remember this? It's going way back, right? Way back. And there's evergreen bushes. You guys know how it goes. Like you buy them when they're small, and they go, oh, that's so beautiful. And then you prune them, and then after a while, they look pretty ugly. Like you probably have them at your house. I had some in mine. I had to rip them out too, right? And here's the funny thing. One day, the root is so important, but the root is hard to get at. So I'll share a story. This story. We had all these bushes here. And the first part of the job was really easy. We just came along with an electric saw, and we cut the top of those bushes right off. And it was pretty easy, right? You know, somebody had a rake, cleaned it all up, put it in the can. But the problem was these things had some deep roots. I mean deep. Say deep with me. Deep. Deep. Right? They're deep, right? So we had a person. And he took, like, you guys know they make, like, these tow ropes. They're really strong, right? We took a tow rope. We wrapped it around that bush, hooked it onto the bumper of the car, of someone's car. And you guys think about where the story's going, right? Right? And that person said, you know, and by the way, you know how guys work. We're like, yeah, we got this, man. We got this, right? You know, and that person said, he got in his car, and we said, you know, just go slow. We don't want to break anything. And he stepped on the gas and starts pulling. And guess what happened? The bumper came off. God bless that guy as he had to go home and tell his wife about what happened at church. Right? But I say that to say this. You get the point? the root of the sin is really deep, and it really is a problem, and it's really hard to deal with, and we got to get it, because even if we clip the tree off, you know what happens, right? It comes back. We had a problem, another funny story I'll share, but it's kind of funny. We had a problem, we had a homeless person, and we helped him out, which was a cool thing. But over by the gym, we had this huge high bush, right? And that person was actually kind of living right behind that bush. And we talked to him, we got him to move, and kind of gave him some money, got him set up right to get out of there. But we said, you know what? That bush is just getting too big, and when our people come out of church, they're not going to feel safe. So we cut the bush off. The roots are still in the ground. So guess what? The bush is coming back. Right? It's not big enough to live under yet, but we got to be on top of that thing, right? You know, it's kind of a scary thing. So we got to deal with that. But the point is, we got to get at the root. So the root of adultery, the root of the sexual sin about I'm going to have a sexual relationship with somebody outside my marriage, the root isn't I just want to go do that. The root is my heart is wicked and I lust for things that I want that look good and I'll do anything to get them sometimes. And that's kind of the challenge that we want to talk about today. And by the way, I want to move to the next point. And check out what Jesus says. By the way, you've all heard this passage, right, before. Look what Jesus says. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And you guys say, amen. So I talked to Terry Kerner. He's our facilities guy. And I have this really good saw. And we can go after church, and we're going to take off some hands that need to be cut off. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board right next to the men's prayer breakfast. Right? And he says... And I jumped ahead. He said, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Everybody look up. Is Jesus saying, get the saw? Get the sharp thing to poke your eye out? Is he saying that? No, he's not saying that exactly. But he's saying something that's really important that pertains to this problem. And here's what he's saying. This is called hyperbole. So as you read the scripture, by the way, you can't take everything literally. We have to take it naturally. And if it's a figure of speech, we have to understand it's a figure of speech. It's not go do that. Otherwise, we'd have a whole lot of Christians with no hands and no eyes, right? That are still sinning, like, you know, aggressively, right? But that's the whole problem. So look what Jesus says. He says, and hyperbole, just get this in your mind, and hyperbole is an exaggerated saying that gets us to think more deeply. Because in a serious way, if I say, we're going to go cut off your hand, nobody's saying amen. Nobody's signing up, right? Let's be real, right? He's not saying that. But look, and by the way, again, I just kind of left that verse there, Exodus 20:17. You know, this is kind of the issue. And then I picked up, and here's kind of the point. If we're going to deal with this problem of adultery, which his root is lust, then it takes some action on my part. Not cutting hands and poking out eyes, but it takes action. And I want to share with you, by the way, look at the Old Testament. Look what Job said. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? And the point is, right, is that I got to deal with this lust. I got to deal with this desire. And I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to be, you know, in a sense, confessing, but as men, right? The eye gate is the gate. And I'll throw this out. Why do you think the advertising that you watch, and I just kind of emphasize this, when you watch the Super Bowl, why do you think everyone doesn't have that many clothes on? Why? Because it sells. Because it comes right in, and you're like, oh, yeah. You know, and I use, you know, here's a perspective, too. You know, you see like the Budweiser beer commercial or other beer commercials, right? Everybody looks beautiful. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's successful. Everybody's half-dressed. Man, give me some of that. That sounds like fun. Right? That's kind of where it's going, right? That's the idea. And look what Job says. He says, you know, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I got to actively say, you know what? I got to change the way I interpret and I receive what comes from the outside in because it's changing my heart in a way I don't need it to change. And that's kind of the point. And then in the psalmist, I think this is actually Solomon, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Oh, back up. I have the same verse twice. Write down that reference. It's Psalm 101, verse 3. And I'm turned there real quick. My bad. Sorry about that. I told you my day was bad, right? Psalm 101:3. And by the way, I picked up Terrence this morning, and I appreciate Terrence is such a faithful guy and working in our sound room. But we were talking about this in the car. I said, Terrence, you remember that verse about this? And he actually gave me this verse, Psalm 101:3. And look what it says in Psalm 101:3 in your Bible. He says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Isn't that kind of good? So when I think about boundaries in my life, this is the point, right? And especially men, but ladies too, right? We got to watch out what's coming in through the eye gate because it could take us to a place that we really don't want to be. And Jesus' point as he teaches this morning is exactly that. We got to do something about this underlying issue called lust. And I want to slide down. Sarah, go to the next slide, if you would, please. Advance me there, please. Thank you so much. And I want to illustrate this. Notice Jesus in John chapter 8. He was dealing again with these people. And look what he said. He says, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down, and he taught them. Then, here's our friends, the scribes and Pharisees, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And by the way, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Sunday morning service, and that would be an amazing event, something like that happened, right? Can you imagine? That's what's going on. Jesus is teaching at the temple, in the synagogue, right? And by the way, what are a couple questions that come to your mind right off the bat? Yeah, where's the guy at? Oh, he ran real fast. He got away. You know, but it's like, where's the guy? And scribes and Pharisees, what are they worried about? The outward stuff, right? So here's the woman, and we caught her right in the act. But how they do that, God only knows, right? And look what they said. They said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. And by the way, is that true? Yes. That's what the law taught. But what do you say, Jesus? And they said, and this they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And by the way, what's Jesus doing? Getting them to think, right? Getting to think about what your guys are doing. And by the way, I guess these really smart people didn't put it together and go, yeah, we ought to have the guy too. But here's the woman, you know, Jesus, they had it all set up. And we'll continue with that story. Sarah, take us to the next slide, please, if you would. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and said to them, who is without sin among you? Let him throw the first stone at her. And here's the point, by the way, right? The Pharisees and Sadducees, they have to be what? Married. They have to have a spouse, right? And they think because they have maybe not committed the outward sin of adultery that they are clean as a whistle. And Jesus tells them they are as dirty can be. And look what he says. He says, So he stooped down, he wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. So Jesus, with like no words, kind of turned the tables and said, the issue is your heart. Maybe they had never committed adultery on the outside. And by the way, I'll throw this out. If there's anyone here that has committed adultery on the outside, you know what? Praise God that Jesus died to save us from all sin. And he came to clean the heart, and the outside will be a resultant cleansing as well. And he did that for us because he knows the issue is our heart and we're all wicked. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they're in the same boat. And by the way, notice in the story, but it would make a cool movie if they stoned her. But guess what? They didn't pick up no stones because they realized that the issue was their heart. And by the way, that's what it says. I appreciate how the Lord puts this in the scriptures. He says, and when they heard it being convicted by their conscience, they went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. So even the hotheads were convicted right to their heart. And the wise ones were like, uh-oh, he got us. And he did. And that's kind of the point, right? So what the Lord is saying here is, like, adultery is wrong, surely. But the Lord's saying, we got to take this to a whole new level if we're going to have a righteousness that sees the Pharisees and scribes. If we're going to be righteous before God, we have to allow the Spirit of God and his word to change our hearts deeply so that we really have a character that shows God's building his kingdom here. Does that make sense? That's where he's kind of going with this. And I want to just take us down. And I want you guys to think about this for a second. How does that happen? How's that happen in us? And the Apostle Paul kind of gives a good commentary on that. And look what he says. He says in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. So he's saying, you know, I'm a humble person just like you, but I'm pleading and I'm coming at you real hard in the name of Jesus. And he says, but I beg you that when I am present, that I might not be bold, that with confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as though we walked according to the flesh. Some people were criticizing Paul. They said, man, Paul's walking according to the flesh. He just wants to be the boss. He just wants to do all these things. And he said, no, that's not true. And he says these words, and this is word that drive us. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Everybody look up. I want to make a connection. Remember Matthew? He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hands offend you, cut it off. How would that be warring? According to my flesh. Right? By the way, in a human battle, you know what I'm going to do? My soldiers want to kill your soldiers. I want to make them unable to fight. So if I cut my hands off and I poke my eyes out, I think in my flesh that I can't fight. But I'm fighting the wrong enemy because the enemy's on the inside. He's on the inside. And he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And here's a stronghold. We have been so conformed to the world in our thinking about adultery, lust, marriage, divorce. You know, we have this soft feeling about all those things. And God's saying, we got to change that. We got to tear down those strongholds and build up a fortress that's based on the word of God and God's heart for us as his children. We got to do that. And he says, you know, we got to cast down arguments. You know what? Tomorrow morning, watch the morning TV show. You will hear all kinds of arguments. And let me say this. By good, you know, in a sense, by people that need Jesus who just don't know. They don't know either. But they come off as experts. And they have degrees, they have written books, they've done all this stuff. But we got to go back and say, God, what's your plan? We got to be transformed here. And he says, we got to cast down those arguments and every high thing exalted that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And here's the challenge. You know what we got to do? And I'm talking especially to guys, right? I'm a guy too. And I would be a liar to say that I've never committed adultery in my heart. Have I lusted? Yeah. And I bet all of us honestly can say that's true. If we're honest, right? If we're honest. I haven't committed adultery in the physical way by the grace of God. Have I struggled with those areas? Yeah. I'm a real guy just like the rest of us guys, right? We wrestle with that. You know, I go to the beach. I watch TV. I have a computer. You know, I see people at the store. You know, all those things happen, right? What do those things do? They trigger thoughts in my mind that I need to capture quick. Amen? Amen? And that's what God's trying to say to us. And by the way, I'm not trying to exclude you ladies. It happens to you too, I'm sure. You know, God has wired us as men, man, that, you know, we're sort of mission-focused, and, you know, I say mission-focused, we want to do what we want to do, and we have goals, and we're goal-oriented and all those kind of things, and that make us go places that's not good, right? And ladies are more, you know, moved by emotions and feelings, the way God's created you guys, and maybe that's not as much of an issue on the eye gate to you as it is to us, but it is a struggle. And the world's kind of making it harder and harder in all the different ways, right? So he says, we got to bring these thoughts captive. And we actually have to even punish our disobedience so that we can obey God. And I want to challenge us to that today. That's what God wants us to do. Like, there's an active role that we have here to come alongside the convicting work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and to make captive our thoughts before they develop in our minds. And I want to say, everybody look up for a sec. I'm not going to be able to make it in a way for you that you will never be tempted. We can't do that, right? Like, you're going to live life. The Bible says that Christians, right, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, all I have to do is go to the beach, go anywhere, see certain things, log onto my computer. And I'm going to share this, even at church, and I never open these by God's grace, but even at church, we get pornographic email. At church. They must not read the domain, fbcwillenbro.org. Like, it just comes, it's just out there in such quantity. And I'll throw this out. I get it, Cindy gets it, Carol gets it. Pat, we actually fixed your email, you're going to get it tomorrow. You know what I mean? That's how it works, right? That's how it works. It's just out there. It's out there in such volume that we all see it, you know? And we have to, like, we have to protect ourselves. We got to bring those thoughts captive before we're captive. And that's such an important thing to think about today, this idea of lust, right? And I want to just skip over that now and that too. And I want to just ask us a question. So how do we fix this? So hopefully today we just kind of gained or been reminded in our knowledge and understanding how Satan works and what are some of the defenses that we can do, right? The second thing, and we just talked about this, is I hope you leave here today and say, you know what? I got to capture my thoughts. I got to make sure that my thoughts line up with God's thoughts. So I got to get God's thoughts in my mind constantly so I do that, right? And then the letter C is, I got to recognize and I got to remove temptation. And I want you guys to think with me. This is the part where we get to work together, right? Iron sharpening iron. What are some of the things that I need to remove, or what do I need to recognize as issues for me in that area? What are some things that we should be careful of? What do you guys think? I'll throw one out. I just said one today, right? We got to capture our thoughts and recognize the temptation digitally. And I mean your computer, I mean, Facebook. I mean, all those other, you know, things, tools that are out there. Instagram, right? Twitter. We got to make sure that when we see things that are not good, let's get rid of them. Don't dwell on them, or in your mind, call them out as that is not what God says. And I don't care who sent it. I don't care how many PhDs they have, all those kind of things. And by the way, neither does God. But we got to call out what is not true and say that is not true, that is from the pit, digitally. And I'm going to throw this out next as a thought. We need to do that same thing, and I'll throw this out, geographically. What do I mean by that? We got to make sure that these feet don't take me to places that are going to cause me to be tempted. There are certain places that I just can't go. There are certain things that I just can't see. And I have to be real about that and honest about that. There's some places that geographically I got to put some boundaries up and say, I'm not going to go there. And I'm not trying to restrict all your behavior, but I'm just saying, you know what? We got to get a game plan to defend ourselves. But we got to be careful geographically. And I'll throw this out. For some people, maybe you go into the beach and, you know, everyone's wearing half nothing. That might not be a great place for you. We got to be careful of that. You know, it can be fine. But it can be challenging too. You know, and you have to know yourself and be honest about that area, right? Be honest about that. Geographically matters. Personally, boundaries. I'll share with you guys. Maybe you work with someone who is really attractive. I'm being real, right? You work with somebody who's really attractive. And that takes your mind all kinds of places that don't need to go, right? I worked out there, right? Worked with all kinds of people, young and, you know, whatever. You know, one of the biggest challenges, you know, in the ministry, one of the biggest things that take out pastors is sexual sin. Sexual sin, can you believe it? People ought to know better. But man, Satan is so slick. Be careful. Put some personal boundaries in your life. What do I mean by that? Let's just flesh that out for a quick second. By the way, Billy Graham was really good at this. Billy Graham was so serious about this, he would not ride an elevator with a woman by himself. That's amazing, right? And that seems kind of extreme. But he was a realist, and he understood, you know, the issues that could come out. He said, you know, I'll take the stairs. I'll wait for the next one, but I'm not going to do that. By the way, I'm not saying that needs to be, you need to have the elevator rule in place. But what I am saying is know yourself, know the temptation, and let's put some boundaries around ourselves so we don't get caught.
Accountability.
Yeah, accountability is the other one. You know what? We as men, appreciate you saying that. And by the way, sometimes that people take that word wrong, accountability. Here's what accountability is in this context. Accountability is that I have male friends who are concerned about me, and they're going to tell me when I'm wrong. And I'll throw this out. Our deacon board and Pastor Ansu, I know those guys. If I'm out of line, they're going to tell me. They're not kittens about those kind of things, right? And I appreciate that. I appreciate that they're lions for God in that way. And we as men, by the way, the men's prayer breakfast, you know what that's all about? We as men got to get together and be real with each other and be vulnerable and say, you know what? I struggle and I need your help. I need your prayer. I need your accountability. I need your friendship so that I can bring glory to God in my life. That's what we're talking about here. So, so important. So important to do those things. And I just want to encourage us as men, let's really think about today, especially men, and ladies too, again, let's really think about what are the areas that I need to set up some boundaries in my life in this area of temptation that really are vulnerable spots for me. Now, throw this out. We don't want to ever be a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe to go, I'm good, I got this. Because the moment you say you got this, Satan got you. right? And I really mean that. Like pride, Bible says, right? Pride does what? Right? Pride goes before our falls, right? It really does. Make sense today, folks? See how Jesus takes this like kind of high-level thing, and he just drives it right into our heart in a way that now this righteousness that exceeds the scribes and Pharisees is possible through the power of God's Spirit and through his word as I respond to it. And I encourage us today. A lot of times messages, we go, boy, that was really nice. And then if I ask you tomorrow what was said, you have no idea, right? Like, we got to be thinking about this, because I'm telling you what, here's the deal. As soon as you leave church, by the way, the war, it may even happen at church, but the war is going to begin. The war is going to go on in this area. You know, we all understand the culture. The war is going to go on. It's everywhere, right? It's everywhere. So let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, and I just ask you, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, in this really challenging area. Lord, we are in trouble in this area without Jesus, without his Spirit, and without your word. Lord God, work in us today. Help us, Lord, to really put some things in place, Lord, that are going to keep us safe by way of boundaries. And Lord God, I pray that your Spirit would just really, really work in our hearts and our minds. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.